This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
And welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. This morning, I'll be speaking to us on the topic, what is dishonor? What does it mean to dishonor God? What does it mean to dishonor man? What does it mean to put God in a position where God would look at a son or a daughter of his and God would think in his heart, this child or this beloved one of mine has dishonored me? Dishonor comes with a haughty heart, with a certain kind of mindset that makes one think that God is not who he says he is, or that God is lesser than he actually claims to be. When you dishonor God, what you have done is that you have removed the bounds of his illimitable nature, his immutable nature, and you have basically just turned God into a person or an entity that is lesser than you. The scriptures are replete with examples of those who dishonored God. God would say to the children of Israel, oftentimes, he would say, I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you a land that you did not have to fight for. I gave you an inheritance from generation to generation. And yet you dishonor me. You say, how did we dishonor you? Then God will say, you dishonor me by worshiping other gods. You dishonor me by bowing down to Baal. You dishonor me by bowing down to Ashtaroth. You dishonor me by regarding men higher than myself. Many of us may look at it nowadays and say, oh, but we do not worship Baal. Oh, we do not worship Ashtaroth. Oh, we do not do this. We do not do that. But hey, always the idol in a man's heart. Always the idol in a man's heart informs his ideology. When you hear people talk about ideology, feminism, communism, capitalism, oh, I'm a feminist. Oh, this is I support LGBTQ. Oh, I do this. Any ideology is a product of an idol. And most idols decided that they were not going to be physical anymore. They are going to just dwell in the heart of men. Men dishonor God when they join their faith which they have in Christ with any other ideology that is conceived by men. Men dishonor God. We dishonor God whenever we equate our new standing in Christ with any other belief system, no matter how beautiful it is. It makes no sense when it comes to the Christian. No matter how lovely it is, no matter how lofty it is, Christ is your loftiness. Christ is your place of honor. Christ is the one that you gave your life to, and you cannot give your life to Christ and have any other ideas. Let me say that again. Christ is your idea. Christ is the centerpiece of your life. The day you gave your life to him, it became all in all. You cannot combine him with anything. Christ is a standalone entity. So when we say we dishonor God, you see people using the altar of God in quotes to preach messages. They will say, "Oh, they are preaching messages of hope, of reconciliation." And then I remember when I was watching the inauguration of the American president, a bishop of a certain church stood on the altar and began to talk about You would hear them say it as if it was, oh, you see, what about all the these people? What about that people? What about their pretty inclusion and all that? But they were using the altar of God to further the agenda of men. That is absolute dishonor. Every time you do that, you have something in your heart. You are a minister of the gospel. You are a pastor. You are a brother. You are a sister. And then somebody comes to you to seek for counsel. But you have something in your heart that you think is a good idea. You didn't hear it from the Holy Spirit. You did not, it is not an express instruction from God, but you use your standing as an altar of God. I'm talking about you now. You, I'm talking to JSW now. JSW, you now use your reputation as a minister of the gospel to further an agenda or to advance an agenda or to advance a counsel that is from your mind, from your human perspective, but that does not depict the position of God. You have dishonored God because the person that came to you to ask for counsel, that person came seeking the counsel of God. So Apostle Paul will be very clear in his writing. He would say, oh, I speak this by the Spirit. And then he will clearly say, I say this as a man. Even though I have the Spirit of God, God did not tell me to say this. It is just my own good opinion. You see, it is not just my own good opinion. That's why I'm saying this one. But the one that expressly comes from the Lord, they will say, I say this as told by the Lord. So he was very careful not to allow himself the Son of God by making people think that his opinion is the opinion of God. By making people think that his standing is the standing of God. It is important that every one of us understand that the greatest honor that you can do to God in Christ is in obedience, in ensuring that the ways of Christ are not corrupted by the fleeting imagination, situation, and conclusions of men. Fleeting, because all ideas change over time. God does not change. So if you ever make the human idea, if you make it seem as if God is speaking, and then times change, you will then see that you have made God a liar. I'll give you an example. I was reading an old sermon by a particular bishop of the Southern American Anglican Church that was based in Southern America in the 1800s during the slave trade. And this man, he wrote this sermon, and it was published all over America about slavery and slave trade. And this man spoke and he said that all blacks were meant to be slaves. And he was the one that advanced certain ideas about the three sons of Noah, and that the black people came from the boy that dishonored Noah. And as a result of that, he was cursed by his father. And therefore, it is the duty of the brothers to enforce the curse on the black race. He spoke as a bishop. It was a popular sermon. It empowered the slave owners to own more slaves and to treat their slaves as wickedly as possible. And yet, he didn't speak for God. He has dishonored the altar. He has dishonored God. By taking a position on anything that is not scripture, you will dishonor God. If you take a position, that's why I said feminism, as lofty as when you say, I know, we are fighting for the girl rights, we are fighting for this, we are fighting for that, as lofty as it may seem now. When you begin to see, yeah, men are this, and they begin to insult men, and they begin to say they are tearing down, and they become very toxic, and then you realize that the things that you thought was a lofty thing is a fleeting idea of men that can easily be corrupted. Now, the word of God cannot be broken, but every other idea can be broken. And therefore, you have to separate yourself from me. I stand for the scriptures. I stand for the scriptures. I have no idea. I'm not for anything. I'm not for anybody. I'm for God. I am for God. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my definition. The Lord is my advocate. The Lord is the voice that I speak. I stand for the Lord. God has a perspective on everything. God has his lens on all things. We human beings see things from where we are. God sees from where he is. And God is the one that dwells in the lofty place. He can see the ends of all things from the beginning. And so every time you take a position that is contrary to the position of God, because you think it is juicy or good at the time, you see, you are dishonoring God. It is very important that in this season, where we learn to change how we see things, how we talk, how we act, so that we can be in sync with the Lord, that we honor God deliberately. I said last week when I was speaking on honor, true honor, I said honor has something to do with giving people stuff. Some people will give God money and they will give it without the heart, with disdain. God is not hungry. The Bible says that some people fasted for 80 days, 80 years, and God said, "This is not the fast that I asked for." What was the fact? Fast that I asked for, that will take care of the fatherless, take care of the motherless, take care of the needy, the reason to are in the hospital, that you do these good charitable works towards all men. He said, when you do this, you honor me. You see? So when we turn a blind eye to the suffering of others, even though we are born again Christians, we dishonor God. Why? Because we are his representative. We are the hope of the hopeless. If the hope of the hopeless removes itself, the hopeless then goes into despair. And when they go into despair, they become desperate. And when they get desperate, they begin to do desperate things. Let me say that again, that you may understand. There is a chain. There is a chain of command here that leads either to the right or to the left. Somebody needs school fees. But you have your money with you, and you cannot spare a few bucks to help the person. And then the person decides, after waiting and waiting and waiting, and nobody would help, even though God has prompted somebody to help, the person did not help. And so the person decided that, oh, I'm going to have to take my destiny into my own hands, and I'm going to have to make some moves. So either it's a male and it goes to steal, or it's a female, she goes into prostitution. You would think in your own heart that you have nothing to do with it. Oh, but because God has told you to help and you did not help, every decision the person takes going forward is your responsibility. You see, because God could see that this person, out of their desperation, was going to do something so crazy, and God wanted to stop that. Because if you had helped, you will have brought the person hope and a good message from the Lord. So you see how we dishonor God in disobedience. But when we obey the Lord, we honor him. Why? Because every time the Lord says, do something and you do it, not you do not do it because it is convenient for you. No. We do not do this because we want to get anything out of it. I don't do that. I can never think of one time that I ever supported or helped anybody in my life so that the person can be good to me. No. Most of the time, the people just they'll just walk away, or I even forget about them. Once in a while, they see me maybe on the streets of another country. I remember meeting a sister on the streets of London. She saw me and she jumped on my neck and she was screaming, "Hey, but I mean, I said, I don't know you. Say, you don't know me. Ah." And then she began to explain who she was. I said, "Wow, you are this person." But the point I'm trying to make is that when you honor God that way, God says, "Oh, help this person," and you help the person. Then the person glorifies God. The person remembers that God has given him or her a promise. And the person then says, God has kept Israel's promise. Then the person can tell other people, God can be trusted. Oh, God is good. Oh, I was at my, in fact, I was about to go do something crazy and then help him. You see, and every time that happens, the testimony of that person and the assurance of that person in God is strengthened. And as a result of that, God is honored. So when a Christian does not honor God, or when we walk in disobedience, we dishonor God. We may not see the immediate consequence of it, but the consequence exists. The consequence of dishonor. Every time we act wickedly towards somebody, every time we put our interests above the interests of the Lord, every time we think of self, self can be an idol. Self. For it is written that thou shalt have no other God besides me. Some of us are gods unto ourselves. Even though we are born again Christian, our focus, our worldview, the way we think, the way we talk, we put our self-interest ahead of all things. That is a dishonor to God. He said, I will honor those who honor him, and I will dishonor those who dishonor me. You know why he said that? In the book of 1 Samuel, he was talking about Eli and his children. And he said they dishonor him by profaning his worship. What does that mean? God was not talking about the goat and the sheep and the no. God was talking about their general attitude. We can have an attitude of dishonor. We can have an attitude of dishonor. Where the way we position ourselves, like I said earlier, about self, the way we position ourselves puts us at a strong disadvantage to establish and defend the gospel. Yesterday, I was brought to my notice a particular pastor who granted an interview, a good positive interview, himself and his wife, on a love, they call it love gist. And they invited him to just talk about his love life because he's quite a popular young, in his 40s kind of pastor, but popular among the youth. They said, oh, come and tell us about yourself and your wife, about your marriage. And so he began to speak, and I think maybe it was a 30-minute program or an hour program, but you know the way social media people, how they will cut out certain aspect of a conversation, they will take away context. They will take away context and they will publish it. A lot of people jumped on it and they were commenting. They didn't understand the context, and yet they were quick to put their mouth in the matter. You see, it is very easy for people who do not have conversations with the Lord to be attracted to conversations that do not matter. It is because it is a vacuum in the heart of men. Because anybody that hears from the Lord consistently, who is living under the instructions of the Lord, his ears are tuned to higher frequencies of communication. You will not be bothered by scrolling your phone so that you are looking inside your phone to find something that will unbore you or that will engage you. You are just scrolling. Then you see something like, let me listen. Ah, I also have a comment. I also have something to say. And then when I noticed this, I was like, oh, these people are taking this thing out of context. And yet, they do not consider the fact that as they tear down this particular man of God and his wife, as they tore them down with their comments and all that, in their own hearts, you know, I'm giving my valid opinion. I'm expressing my truths. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. They forget that in doing that, not only are they deliberately misrepresenting the truth, they are standing for a truth that is based on a lie. They do not know the context in any matter. When you do not know the context, you keep your mouth shut. Anybody can come and tell any story, but if you know the full story, you will be a good judge. If you only hear from one side, you are going to be a bad judge. There is no way you can be objective if you hear only from one side. I watched a documentary once. And this documentary will make you laugh. It was on an international TV station. I think I was in London. And there was this documentary after I was watching Joseph Prince preaching. And then after it was done, they had this 5 minutes slot and they put in this documentary. In the documentary, they show the town of Boston. They show Boston in America. And then they cut away from the first scene to this family. The woman was crying. The man was crying. And then they were writing on the screen, this is the family of Luis Garcia, whatever, whatever. They are devastated. They are crying. They are weeping. And then they showed the boy who was on death row in a particular prison and has been sentenced to be put to death. And they cut to the boy and they showed him. And they said, no matter how wrong what he has done is, the family is asking that the public sign a petition to send to the government so that they would stay the execution, the death sentence, so that they would stay it, so that the boy would not be put to death. Ah, it was a moving documentary. In 5 minutes, I was almost weeping. The way they did it. Oh my God. Do you know how media people can slant a story? And the way they did it, they said, oh, help save him. Write a petition. He has done wrong. We know. But his family don't want him to die. They are not saying they should release him from prison. But death is too much. The government should do something. They were persuading the American public that they should sign a petition to take away the death sentence from this young man. And as persuaded as I was, I kid you not, I went to my knees. Because I'm not an American citizen, I couldn't fill a petition. I went to my knees and I said, Lord, this is a soul. This is a life. Can you please spare him for the sake of his mother, for the sake of his father, for the sake of all those who are weeping? Can you please spare him? And the Lord was gracious to me, so he showed me a vision. He showed me how his father and mother raised this boy. And the Lord said to me, he said, the boy was involved in a drug trafficking scheme. And there was a lot of money that the boy had access to that he has refused to release the details of where the money is because of the death sentence. It is not because of love that the parents came out to do this petition. They wanted to take away the death sentence so that they can have enough time to get the information so that they can get the money. I'm not so foolish. And every time I always remember that thing, that when you hear one side of a story, when you hear the side of the story of the lion, you are going to say to the zebra, lion is hungry, let him eat you. When you hear from the zebra, you are going to say, I lie or you are wicked. Don't eat zebra. But there is no, that's how everybody that tells their story will tell it from their own standpoint. And so when you jump, you dishonor God because you are not supposed to put God in a position where he begins to tear others down. So again, attitude of dishonor. There was nothing wrong with the prodigal son collecting his birthright. It's nothing wrong. God didn't get angry. The father didn't get angry. The father felt, oh, he wanted a startup capital to make something of himself. He was the younger son, the second son. He wasn't going to get a portion of any blessing. So the portion he wanted was one third. There are two sons. The first son was going to have two portions. By right, the prodigal son was going to have one portion. That was double portion. And so that was the idea, right? And so this boy collected this one portion. But the way he spent it dishonored his father. Every time we use the blessing God has given us in certain way, we spend it in a certain way. God gave you a car. I say it to my wife, I say it to my children all the time. I will tell them that anything God has given me will not give me a problem. I will not allow something God gave me to become a problem to me. Because I could do without it. Then I was doing without it. Like I have a car. I didn't have a car, I was fine. I was paying for one. Then I got a car. And because I got a car, I begin to drive to places I'm not supposed to go to. I would never do that. I don't have a visa. Okay, I got the visa. Then because I got the visa, I begin to get proud. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because anything God has given unto me is a blessing to me. Something that's supposed to be a blessing to me will not lead to me being misbehaving. I will not live my life like that. And so you dishonor God when the things has given unto you, you allow them to change you, to shape you, to make you do things that you're not supposed to do, to talk the way you're not supposed to talk, to think the way you're not supposed to think. That is dishonor unto God. For using the blessing he gave you in a way that you are not meant to use it. Remember that. So that's why somebody like Elisha, who got angry and cursed children, somebody like that, as anointed as he was, you saw his end. You saw that he died of his sickness. Even his bones would raise the dead. But it would seem as if no help came for him. There are aspects of his ministry that are outright dishonor to God. Outright dishonor to God. In hindsight, I can say that over and over again. The killing of the children was not necessary. Was absolutely unnecessary. It does not serve God any purpose. It does not help God in any way. It portrays God in a negative light. And so when I tell ministers of the gospel, oh, be careful. Don't curse. Don't use the grace of God that I've given unto you to bring fire down on people. It is because when you do that, you dishonor God. You dishonor God by abusing the grace and privileges that he has given unto you. So we must not dishonor God. We must ensure that the blessings and the gift that God has given unto us are used always to proclaim his glory. Every time somebody will talk about you, every time they will talk about me, they should say, glory to God. Glory to God that I met by Agwenga. Glory to God for the anointing of God upon his life. Glory be to God for the gift of God that he is. Glory to God because we can see that it's a good example. That is how people honor God with gifts, with grace, with the anointing that God has given unto them. And that's how you must honor God. Always. Always. Honor God in your dressing. That doesn't mean you should dress like some slave or some the way white people program Africans to dress. No, it means honor God with your dressing. Let him pick what you wear. Dress well. Look good. It is a mark of dishonor for Christians to look as if they are just, they are meant to be put to death. Wearing sackcloth all the time, looking sad and morose, is a dishonor. It does not represent God in his full light. When you see God in his full light, God is light. And that light is not just light. It is light of all shades of color. There is none as beautiful, none as beautiful as God. The angels see the countenance of his appearance and they fall down to worship. The heaven and the earth bow down to the throes of his glory. And so Christians dishonor God when we dress in a way that does not portray the glory that lies within us. As I speak to you today, as I round off, I speak to you as one who is determined and studying in my heart and my every day on the best ways to honor God. And there is no better way than obedience. Obedience constitutes your attitude, your mindset, your behavior, your speech, how you interact with others, how you talk to others, your thinking. When you use your mouth anyhow, tie room or everywhere, you dishonor God. Your mouth is the temple of God. You are the spokesperson of the Lord. So God said, every idle word shall be judged. Remember? So because of that, we do not allow a lot of idle words. When we speak as oracles of God. That is what honors God. Glory to God. As you go into churches today and the services, I declare that you are vessels unto honor. That your presence is honorable. That the glory of God upon your life is a glory that is full of honor. That men see you and they can see that you are honorable. That your conduct is honorable. Your attitude is honorable. Your speech is honorable. Your demeanor is honorable. I declare that honor speaks ahead of you. Honor speaks for you. I declare that the honor that God himself bequeathed on you in Christ, that honor will continue to shine. You will not lose your garment of honor. You will not lose your place in standing of God. I declare that you are blessed and that everything you do today will show forth the fullness of God in every area of your life. Father, I give you glory for your church, honorable church. We honor you with our words. We honor you with our substance. We honor you with our life. We honor those that you honor. We honor all men. Blessed be your holy name, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
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 Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.